Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Happy Wednesday night to you. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score, 670thescore.com. It is Nick Szepkowski and Mark Grody. A little bit of a radio effort, some crazy behind-the-scenes stuff making this all go and work today. Adam Studzinski and Herb Lawrence are producers this evening as Mark Grody is out in Denver covering the Bears as they practice this week with the Broncos ahead of Saturday's third preseason game. I'm Nick Szepkowski. I'm back here in the downtown studios in Prudential Plaza at 670 The Score. And that's what you're listening to here this evening as we spend a lot of time breaking down the Bears, some of their preseason hope, as they take the flight out to Denver and have some of these joint practices. There was news across the league, though, today. And Grotz is a guy who's not just a Bears fan, but an NFL fan. When I say the name Jalen Ramsey, cornerback for the Jacksonville Jaguars, what is the first thing that comes to mind for you?
Well, trash talking?
Okay, that's a good one. That's probably, I think, yes, either very good player or trash talking is what I was assuming would come out of your mouth, would be one of those two things.
Yeah. Obviously, he's a very good player.
Yes. Only 2 years into the league, already gone to the Pro Bowl last year, was very key in Jacksonville's run to the AFC Championship game that they ultimately lost in the last minutes against New England, a game that looked like they were going to win for quite some time. Jalen Ramsey was the feature in a GQ piece this week that was actually released today. And if you know anything about Jalen Ramsey, he's never really one to hold back when asked questions. I'm sure if Jalen Ramsey were a Chicago Bear, he would instantly make that room. Obviously, he'd make the team better. When you add a Pro Bowl-type corner that's only 23, 24 years old, he'd make the team better. But he would make the team a lot more interesting, too, because it'd be like, even days he's not scheduled to speak, I think he's a guy that everyone would probably want to talk to. And I don't know what the closest thing in the Bears locker room to being like that would even be in this case. You would have a better idea than I, but that's a personality that's nearly unmatched in the NFL.
Yeah, you know, and it's funny. We were talking about this today. The Bears don't really have that guy that is, you know, going to start a fight. I guess the talkers on the Bears, probably Danny Trevathan. Eddie Jackson likes to get into it a little bit, and Akeem Hicks. But none like Mr. Ramsey, and nothing like what was said today.
Yeah, and we'll go through this a little bit here. It's all part of GQ.com. You can find the story if you just go there, search Jalen Ramsey. But he was interviewed, asked many things about his career, how he got into football, some of the new rules in regards to the national anthem. And he was also asked about some of the different quarterbacks he's played against in the league and some of the rookie quarterbacks that are now going into the league. And so he starts to go off about the NFL draft, and the man doing the interview asks him about how was the draft a little off. Ramsey answers with, if all those teams actually wanted Baker Mayfield so bad, Baker compares more with Lamar Jackson than any of the other quarterbacks that went high. So if they want that type of quarterback, confident, get out of the pocket, throw on the run, big plays, charisma, then yeah, I understand Baker going number one. But if all the other people were competing and wanting Baker too, then why wasn't Lamar Jackson the second quarterback chosen? Instead of at the end of the first round, I think Josh Allen is trash. I don't care what nobody say. He's trash, and he's going to show it too. That's a stupid draft pick to me. We play them this year, and I'm excited as hell. I hope he's their starting quarterback. He played at Wyoming. Every time they played a big school, like they played Iowa State, which isn't a big school in my opinion because I went to FSU, he threw 5 interceptions, and they lost by a couple touchdowns or something like that. He never beat a big school. If you look at his games against big schools, it was always hella interceptions, hella turnovers. It's like, yo, If you're this good, why couldn't you do better? He fits that mold. He's a big, tall quarterback, big arm, supposedly. I don't see it personally. Like, I love that in a player. Like, okay, tell me what you think about so-and-so. Give me a scouting report on him. Well, I don't think he's worth a damn. I think he's garbage. I think he's a waste of a draft pick, and I can't wait to play against him because I'm probably going to pick him off three times. I love that. Like, I find myself, as soon as I read that from Jalen Ramsey, it's like, all right, breath of fresh air. Finally, instead of the status quo boring quotes, there's something that, forget bulletin board material. I don't think Jalen Ramsey's too worried about that.
Right. Joe Flacco sucks. Matt Ryan,
yes, that too,
is overrated. You know,
guy that won
an
MVP 2 years ago is overrated.
I agree with you. Like, more of that. It's hilarious. Here's the part that I really think about. I think about those innocent victims. Josh Allen, Joe Flacco, Matt Ryan, Ben Roethlisberger, who he says is decent at best. I think about all those guys and what they're thinking. They're just like, what the hell, man? What, where is this coming from? Like, why are you doing this? Like, these are innocent bystanders, and Jalen Ramsey is just mauling these guys verbally. And usually this kind of stuff is stuff that players tweet, and we know what happens when any of us tweets late at night, and maybe you've had a couple of drinks or whatever, and you get a little bit ballsy, and then the next day you're like, oh, no, what did I do? But these were, I assume, presumably talking to a reporter with a tape recorder going into GQ. So these aren't just him sitting around with his little with Twitter, and he's just taking some major thumps at these guys.
Yeah, he then is asked, so which quarterbacks in your opinion don't suck? Aaron Rodgers does not. Tom Brady doesn't. I got to think now about all these teams. I think Marcus Mariota, that's quite the drop-off from Rodgers and Brady to get the Mariota. Not to say that Mariota's bad, but I think Marcus Mariota is a great quarterback for their team. I think Tyrod Taylor is a better quarterback than he gets credit for because he does not make mistakes. And it's pretty much just where he starts and ends the conversation. Which quarterbacks don't suck? He gives you four of them, two of them being Marcus Mariota and Tyrod Taylor, the other two being certain Hall of Famers and Rodgers and Brady. Then I ask if he believes the Jimmy Garoppolo hype. It piles on Jimmy Garoppolo, says the only reason they beat him last year is because he's throwing into the flat. He didn't do anything special besides throw into the flat, and it was all scheme. Did have some compliments for Deshaun Watson, says he's going to be the MVP in a couple of years, him or Carson Wentz. And Jared Goff is nothing but maybe a little bit above average is his scouting report on one Jared
again.
Goff.
Again, Goff's like, what the hell, man? What did
we didn't even play you. Like, why am I catching this? What did I do to you?
Cut it out. It's like, no, don't ask about Mitchell Trubisky. I don't want to know, man.
You're right. Yeah, don't ask about the Bears quarterback. Please don't have a thought on him because, yeah, that would be, I'm sure he would have nothing but good things to say. Like, whatever Von Miller had to say today, like, very complimentary. Rose petals at the feet of one Mitchell Trubisky. I have a feeling that Jalen Ramsey, had he been asked directly about Mitch Trubisky, might have something else to say about all that. But I can't help but, like, read that, look at that, and it's, I love seeing a confident dude. I love seeing a player that isn't afraid to say something that's going to shake up some feathers, shuffle some feathers, and in that part of it, bring some fun to the game, and ultimately, okay, so he takes just a whack at Matt Ryan or Joe Flacco or Ben Roethlisberger. I think they're big enough guys. They're old enough guys. They're successful enough in life that they can probably take it a little bit.
I'm trying to figure out who's the comp here, and it doesn't necessarily have to be a cornerback, but the only name that comes to mind in terms of, like, really not being afraid to break down the opponent before a game was Chad Johnson when he was, obviously, Ocho Cinco, when he was with Cincinnati, that he was not afraid to talk about the opposing team's cornerbacks and be like, yeah, I'll be able to take him. Maybe Terrell Owens to some degree, but I can't remember a guy who just went in like that against guys who, again, who were just totally and completely innocent, who had really done. I mean, Josh Allen hasn't thrown a pass in the NFL yet, and he's being told that he sucks by Jalen Ramsey.
And I also love, like, the shot at Iowa State. Iowa State's not a big school. I went to Florida State. Here's a shot for you, Cyclone fans. Like, just anyone, line up and go and get it from Jalen Ramsey. So I guess my question to the listeners, and you can participate at 312-644-6767, is that something you're a fan of? Like, you like hearing that? You like reading that part of it? Because, I don't know, I think at a younger age, I would have been the guy of like, oh, just shut up and play the game and don't put your teammates in a bad spot having to answer for you and any of that. And I guess with age, it just gotten to the point where I'm like, you know what? I like having a personality there. I like these guys being themselves and being more open. And if they want to go and fire arrows into the sky about all of this, then so be it. And I'm okay with that. And I like that. Be who you are. And Jalen Ramsey sure as hell isn't lacking confidence in that part.
Here's what it is, Shep. You crave honesty, and I think everybody does, because now more than ever, there are more outlets media-wise than ever before in every way, shape, or form. And most of what you hear is just kind of cliche, stuff that you would expect to hear. And then every once in a while, somebody like Jalen Ramsey comes along, and he just gives us total and complete gold. And I think, and it's a good question, 312-644-6767, do people appreciate the fact that there are honest athletes? And what drives me crazy, what I hate, is when there is, and I wish I could think of an example off the top of my head, when there is an athlete that is totally honest and maybe he is, you know, criticizing somebody else, and then he gets ripped to shreds, and then you get why players speak in cliches and they're afraid to say anything real, and we're always just begging players to say real stuff because we want it to be interesting ultimately.
That's Mark Grody. I'm Nick Shepkowski. Texter's pointing out, you don't shuffle feathers, you ruffle feathers. Sorry on that one. I'll point the thumb at myself, and I'll make sure we ruffle feathers instead of shuffle them later on tonight. 815 Texter says that Jalen Ramsey is just a poor man's Richard Sherman. Well, Father Time has caught up with Richard Sherman, if you've seen any of the highlight videos out of 49ers camp so far, and Jalen Ramsey sure does seem like he is on the path to be the next Richard Sherman, as he's the one still going to Pro Bowls. Lincolnshire Mike, next up on the program tonight, has thoughts on Jalen Ramsey. What's up, Mike?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Yeah, I think it's a breath of fresh air to hear, you know, player really speak his mind. I think it's great. Also, I was wondering if in that interview somebody had asked him about his own quarterback, Blake Bortles, and what he thinks of Blake Bortles.
They
I
did.
Was thinking the exact same thing. What did he say about Bortles?
They did, in fact. And what about your boy Blake Bortles was the question that was put his way. Blake, do what he got to do. I think in crunch time moments like last year's playoff game, not as a team because we would have trusted him, but I think as an organization, we should have trusted him more to keep throwing it. We kind of got complacent and conservative, and I think that's why we lost. We started running it on first and second down, throwing it on third every single time we went out there. Patriots caught on to that. That's what he had to say about Blake Bortles. So he doesn't necessarily say that his quarterback has any great shakes. He doesn't go out there and say that he's going to be playing in any Pro Bowls or the reason the Jags ever win a Super Bowl, but he doesn't throw him down the river either.
Oh, I think the obvious follow-up here then for him would be, what do you think of your head coach, Doug Marrone? And I think that he is saying that he doesn't like his head coach. And I'll bet you, and I get it, Jalen's got to protect his teammates. I understand that. If he wasn't part of the Jacksonville Jaguars, I think he would have a slightly more cutting things to say about Blake Bortles.
Yeah, I would think so as well, especially if he got to play in the same division as him and load up against him a couple of times a year. 312-644-6767 is a telephone number to call. Is that something you like in athletes when they are completely honest and can't wait to fire shots against guys they haven't even played against, like in the case of Jalen Ramsey here, taking the shots at the likes of Josh Allen, the likes of Joe Flacco, and plenty of others. 312-644-6767. This hour being brought to you by Menards. Save big money at Menards. It's Nick Shepkowski and Mark Grody with you, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
I was kind of wondering why they were so confident, because we stomped their ass last time. And we knew we was going to do the same this time. I mean, we were confident coming in the game. I can't tell you why they were so confident, but that went out the door real quick.
That's the voice of Jalen Ramsey. We just read over some of his comments in GQ. that were released today. That's from when they knocked the Steelers out of the playoffs in the divisional round this past January. Welcome back in, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score, 670thescore.com. It's Nick Schapkowski, Mark Grody with you tonight up until 10 o'clock here on The Score. Some texts coming in about Jalen Ramsey and him running off his mouth in GQ. Personally, I love it. I wish more athletes spoke their mind, and it's exactly what the 309 texter says. I'm in complete I completely agree with what he says. I love Ramsey's comments because I'm sick of athletes being boring robots. I wish this would happen in more sports even, and I could not possibly agree more with that. It's one of those things of, yeah, you throw a microphone in front of a player's face, and they're going to say, they're going to answer whatever questions you ask them, but it's almost always going to be said with a cliche or a lot of boring things said there, and I mean, that's why it's newsworthy when something is actually said noteworthy like today, because it's becoming more rare and more rare and more rare. And I guess my other question, being working in media like I do now, is I wonder what the Jacksonville Jaguars' comments and thoughts are as an organization when you have a player that goes out and does this, because I can only imagine like what the Bears' reaction and thought would be. An organization that is so buttoned up and they tend to stay away from making headlines off of the field in any way, shape, or form. I can only imagine how this would go over if Jalen Ramsey were a Bear.
Yeah, I don't think it would go over very well. And yeah, I don't really know what it's like in Jacksonville in terms of, you know, it sounds to me like just hearing his voice, like you're not going to be able to stop him. Like it's a genuine part of him. Like this is not just a one-time thing where he misspeaks or decides to go out on a limb with his comments. Like this sounds like this is who Jalen Ramsey is. And, you know, we talk about it being refreshing because of all the cliches. I think it'd be really hard not to be that way. Like I'm putting myself in an athlete's position. Like if I was,
oh, no doubt, no doubt,
right? Like I would probably speak in cliches too, right? Especially in this day and age,
because you're scared,
right,
of who you're going to offend with your like teammate wise. You don't want to tick off a teammate, and that's almost what Ramsey, as much as he is burying guys left and right in this thing, he's given a chance to give an honest evaluation of Blake Bortles, and seemingly everyone that's watched football has a thought on Blake Bortles and his shortcomings as a professional quarterback. But, well, given the opportunity, it's, oh, well, yeah, Blake does what he does. It's somebody else's fault type of thing. So he kind of does it in his own piece here.
Well, yeah, and with bold words comes responsibility, and now he's not only is he going to have to like endure the criticism that he's no doubt getting, he's probably getting pure hate from other fan bases and people who root for the guys that he's ripped. Now he's got to be like, he can't be off by an inch in any of these games, and he's got to be great on a week-to-week basis because people are going to be gunning for him. Unless these other players like kind of know him and they're just kind of shaking their heads and laughing. But I doubt it. I doubt it when he says that Josh Allen is trash and that Matt Ryan is overrated. Yeah, maybe they get a little laugh out of it publicly, but, you know, they're marking that down. And now Jalen Ramsey, wherever he goes, he's going to have to back it up. So, yeah, I would be, just thinking about this out loud on the radio, I would be a cliche machine if I was an elite athlete.
You'd be the old cliche monster. And sometimes the cliche monster
absolutely goes
up and gets you and you start shuffling feathers instead of ruffling feathers. And people on the text line are not letting me not letting me live that one down, nor should they.
Are you getting a bevy of text messages back there?
Text messages of, oh, you ruffle feathers, you shuffle off to Buffalo, and they're like, everyone is texting in. It's ruffle, Schapkowski. Yeah, I get it. The ruffles have ridges, not shuffle that. Okay, my bad. Point the thumb again. Big-time thumb guy here. Need to be better than that. 815 texter chiming back in saying about his Richard Sherman thoughts. Ramsey, definitely a better player at this point in terms of running off his mouth. Sherman would be an example of a player not afraid to just lay it out there. And yes, that's, I completely agree with that in terms of Richard Sherman. He would always be up in somebody's business in his days, his heydays with the Seattle Seahawks. I think we all remember the interview with Aaron Andrews right after they clinched the NFC Championship. What was that, 2013 or 2014, I forget which year it was, against San Francisco, and he just
screaming,
went ballistic when Aaron Andrews is interviewing him in the post game there. But yes, it is. I think that's one of the comparisons. I thought you were right too. Chad Johnson used to always, I mean, it was kind of like Chad Johnson was still in his prime when Twitter was just becoming a thing. And I was slow to get to Twitter. It was until the Jay Cutler news broke on Twitter and I wasn't on it that I was like, yeah, maybe that's a good idea. If I'm going to work in sports media, maybe I should get one of those accounts because if news is going to break there, I should probably be there for it. And the Bears trading for their franchise quarterback and missing that, probably not a good thing. So that's what led me to Twitter. But yeah, like Chad Johnson was, he was one of the first athletes that would like tweet about anything and everything and tell opponents that they suck and say, we're going to beat your ass on Sunday and here's how we're going to do it. And he would back it up a lot of the time. And that's one of the names that came to mind for me as well.
Yeah. You know, another name, but this was obviously well before Twitter, but in terms of like supreme confidence and
Muhammad
justifiably
Ali.
So, well, Muhammad Ali, of course, I've left him out because that's the easy one. Deion Sanders. He was another guy who was not afraid to obviously be flashy during games and talk about it after games and talk about opponents before games because he knew he was the best and he was supremely confident. And well, it seemed that Deion Sanders backed it up.
Oh, no doubt about that part of it. Ended up in Canton in one of the probably as good of cover corners there's ever been in this league, even if he wasn't somebody that was going to make a whole heck of a lot of tackles for you. Gurney Joe next up on 670 The Score tonight. What's up, Joe?
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. I love you guys on The Score. You always bring something interesting to the table, and I appreciate that. And
I appreciate the kind words, Joe.
I have to be at odds with what your premise is because as a good teammate, there's no way he can tell you, especially if it's negative, there's no way he can say that and still remain a good teammate because my experience, my background is 30 years in the military. Before that, I played high school and college football. And I have to tell you, if you have a problem with another player or a coach, that has to be kept internal. And you have to allow the head coach and the various, you know, chain of command, so to speak, resolve those problems and get it all out in the air because unit cohesion is fundamental to achieving any success, in especially in that level of sports. And that's the thing I can relate to in the military because I'll be honest to you. As a unit leader, when I found out there were people talking outside the chain of command and not giving the chain of command an opportunity to fix the problem, I would get to that person and get to the bottom of it. And if it wasn't going to stop, those people were gone.
Joe, appreciate the telephone call there. Yeah, I don't always like the comparisons of how an NFL team operates to how the military operates. Like, because you have a teammate that goes out and talks smack and calls out an opponent, like, I don't hold an NFL player or team or coach or executive in an NFL office to the standard I'd have with someone that's in charge of the military or someone that is courageous enough to go and serve in the military.
Well, yeah, and if he had, what was his name, Bill, the guy that just called?
Joe.
Jerry, Bob, Joe.
Jim,
so,
John.
Yeah, Jim, Joe. If Joe had a superstar in his unit, if like let's say Rambo, that's another movie, by the way, Shep, Rambo, First Blood, if he had Rambo in there, wouldn't he allow him to run his mouth a little bit because this guy can, you know, live for months at a time with a knife, basically. So I think that if he had Rambo in his unit, he would be fine. And what's going to nullify it all? Well, that's why I said this puts a lot of pressure on Jalen Ramsey because he's got to keep on being great now. Like he can't all of a sudden become average or he makes a fool of himself.
Yeah, he's got to keep playing at his Pro Bowl level, and he's got to be as good as ever when you have these things go out, when you have these comments go out. You have to back it up, and that's what makes it – I mean, that's you look like an idiot. You look like a fool if you're out in front of the cameras and out in front of the recorders and microphones and everything else and saying these things, and then you don't back it up. Pretty embarrassing, and it makes you look foolish. It's almost like why we remember the Matt Hasselbeck thing so much of, oh, my goodness. Well, You go back and you look at Hasselbeck when we take the ball, we're going to score, we're going to win. And we all remember that because it was like the mega confidence going on the road and he's going to win an overtime playoff game in Green Bay and first play throws the pick six. And we remember that because it was like the total opposite, not backing up your cockiness or confidence. and those things stick out as well. 312-644-6767, the telephone number to call. It's Nick Schepkowski, Mark Grody with you about 25 minutes from now. If you're getting ready for some fantasy football, if your draft's coming up this weekend or maybe next weekend and you have questions about that, of draft strategy, how you should try to put your team together, we're going to talk to Ben Heisler about that at 9 o'clock from Fantasy Sports Markets. Get an idea of what you should be looking for in your draft, maybe some names of sleeper-type picks as well. That to come, as well as much more football-wise. Nick Schepkowski here in Chicago. Mark Grody's in Denver covering the Bears, following the Bears, and taking an Uber across the street. Got you until 10 o'clock tonight on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Duval!
841 Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score, 670thescore.com. It is Nick Schepkowski and Mark Grody with you tonight until 10 o'clock. That's when Julie DeCaro will be here this evening. She'll take you from 10 until midnight, and then Les Grobstein through the overnight, 12 until 5 a.m., and for that, You Suck Tonight, 1 o'clock. So all of that to look forward to here on The Score this evening. Tomorrow, big day on the station, as always, but you don't want to be missing anything tomorrow. Mully and Haw get things started 5 a.m. Gordon Wittenmeyer, Ozzie Guillen, Brad Biggs, Benjamin Albright, all set to join them. Jay Jaffe and Hub Arkish set to join Bernstein and McKnight. And then McNeil and Parkins will have Theo Epstein on right at 1 o'clock tomorrow. So a full slew of things happening on these airwaves tomorrow. Don't want to be anywhere else. And of course, I'm sure we'll hear from Mark Grody at least once tomorrow afternoon as well, with the latest of everything happening in Denver so far as well. 312-644-6767 is the telephone number to call. Text messages always welcome, 67011. Groats, I trying to get into the Bears rhythm and how things are going to work and how they're going to look this year. I've seen two names, I think, that in terms of what they've actually done on the field, get the most, I don't know about recognition, or at least their name at least gets written about the most to me. And you can speak to seeing how they performed in camp, how they've performed two games into the preseason, hell, what they did today as well with it. But James Daniels, based off of everything I've read, and I'm not going to sit here and act like I've watched all this film from practice and I've gone and rewatched the preseason game six or seven times and watched every down he's played. But man, the praise he has gotten as a rookie here, two preseason games into his NFL career, I mean, they're making it out to be like this guy might be, not saying like level of, was it Zach Martin a couple years ago, walked into Cowboys camp and walked out NFL Rookie of the Year offensively, has been to every Pro Bowl since. But it's, they're making out to be like James Daniels could be one of these real dudes and be a real road grade offensive lineman there at a guard position.
Well, I do think he has to be eventually, because he is a second round pick. I mean, I think in the NFL, your first and second rounders have to hit. Doesn't necessarily mean they have to be stars, and it's really hard to quantify what a guard is in terms of being a star. I think that some of that is coming from the last preseason game, because he got a ton of snaps on the second team, second and third teams as a center, which was a more natural position for him at Iowa. The thing, though, is that in all reality, Shep, James Daniels at this point is in a fight for a starting job. He is by no means a slam dunk starter when the Bears open the season September 9th in Green Bay. Right now he is in, and this is official now because we've all watched it out in Bourbonnais. It's a competition between amongst Eric Kush, James Daniels, and Earl Watford for the left guard spot at this point. And I talked to some people early in camp who really know offensive line, and they said, nope, he's not ready to be a starter, but he could be ready to be a starter by the time Green Bay comes along. And I actually asked James Daniels, I said, are you ahead or behind where you thought you would be at this point in camp? And, you know, he deflected the question, said, ask the coach. Matt Nagy, being the optimist that he is, said that he's ahead of where things are. But, you know, quite frankly, he is not ready at this moment, as we're speaking right now, to be the starting left guard for the Bears, where everybody, at least right now, is projecting him to eventually be. So he's taken some nice steps, but not there yet.
Well, and that's part of it as well, I guess, is that, yeah, not there yet, and that's kind of what they're probably going to. It's always what you hear said about it. I know Greg Gabriel, I don't know if he said it on the air, if it was tweets that he was mentioning this in Harry Hiestand and his history of being an offensive line coach, not so much at Notre Dame, but in his time in the NFL, how impressive and how good you have to be in order to earn a starting spot. If there is any question whatsoever, Greg Gabriel, a man that worked with Harry Hiestand, the Bears knew what's old is, what is it? How's the saying go? What's old is new again. With Harry Hiestand back for the second run. Who cares how it all goes?
You don't want the text messengers to come at you.
I'm ruffling feathers and shuffling feathers, and I'm messing up the old is new again and everything else so far tonight. And my God, am I in radio hell on that. But with Harry Hiestand, he made it perfectly clear of, like, and Pat Manley always used to speak about this when he hosted here and when he does work on post-game shows, pre-game shows, I should say, always says he hates rookies. Harry Hiestand made it clear, at least to Greg Gabriel, that you have to go out and win without any question, without any matter of doubt. You have to go out and win a job if you're going to have a starting role on his offensive line. And I'm curious how close Daniels is to that, because, I mean, it is like every day you get a piece about Daniels coming out of Bourbon A and now out of Hallis Hall up at camp of, oh, this guy's going to be the next great thing, going to be the next great thing. And it feels like, at least the way it's worded by so many people in the know up there, that it's one of those cases where it's like, this really feels like it's just a matter of time, almost like in a lesser degree what Mitch Trubisky was a season ago. It's like, it's a matter of time until he gets to start. Let's get him on his offensive line and see what the kid can do. It feels like it's getting to that case for Daniels to me.
Well, you know what? On draft night, I thought it was like that. Like everybody was breathlessly saying, okay, this is a guy who is a plug-and-play starter. There was some consternation over whether or not he should be the center, and you move Cody White here over to guard. But everybody said, okay, yeah, this guy, you know, comes from Iowa, where they just churn out terrific offensive linemen. He's got it. You know, he should be starting. And honestly, Shep, that's not been the case. I mean, like, I have seen more Eric Kush. Like, I feel like they are, and maybe it's true. I mean, yeah, maybe it's true about Harry Hiestand. Maybe he doesn't like it. I don't know that. I haven't asked him that question directly. But it would definitely appear the rough draft that I've seen is that there is more comfort right now in a veteran, a guy in Eric Kush, who missed the entire season last year because of a hamstring injury and started, I think, played 8 games for the Bears 2 years ago, just for the quick thumbnail on who Eric Kush is. But they certainly have been more comfortable with him, and rarely have we seen, at least on a consistent basis, James Daniels with the first team. So could he eventually become the starter? Yes. I honestly think he has to eventually become the starter based on where they drafted him, but he's simply not there right now. And then again, with the confirmation that even Earl Watford is in on the competition for that left guard spot. And then you have to take into consideration the health or not so health or healthy of Kyle Long, and he's looked great so far. He was in full pads again today. Was Kyle Long going full force? But you have to keep that peripheral eye on Kyle Long and whether or not he stays healthy throughout the season, because then you really have to be pressed into service with somebody like Earl Watford or Eric Kush or James Daniels at those guard spots.
That's Mark Grody. I'm Nick Szepkowski. 312-644-6767. A little bit of Bears conversation. We're going to help you get ready for your fantasy football draft at the top of the hour as well, with some tips and advice and sleepers and everything else that comes with fantasy football season. Lake Zurich, Chris next up, though, on 670 The Score. What's up, Chris?
Not much, Jeff. How you doing, man?
Good.
Good. Grody, how are you?
Good. How are you, man?
Doing well. A question for you here. Roquan and Leonard Floyd both being from Georgia, curious how that both come from the same school kind of plays into their chemistry as they, you know, look to fill that linebacking core. Also, two-pronged question here. Will Leonard Floyd really, you know, turn into that kind of outside pass rusher that we're looking for in the draft pick that, you know, we slotted him for? So I'll hang up, let you guys hear your guys' thoughts, but just curious on that one.
There's a lot of Georgia guys on this Bears roster, as a matter of fact. And honestly, like they haven't, we've tried to sort of connect that and make that a fun little story, but you know, Leonard Floyd and Roquan Smith, of course, they'll smile and talk about Georgia and all that kind of stuff, but they haven't made a real big deal. And I get the question. I understand where you're coming from with that call, but that hasn't been a real thing, to be honest with you. And maybe it is. We'll see in terms of chemistry what those two guys are like on the field. And I think he asking about Leonard Floyd and will he be good? Was that it, Shep?
The yeah, impressions part? Of Leonard Floyd so far was kind of the second part of that.
Yeah, he was on one of my six observations from today.
Oh, that's right. We do have the six we have to get to. Has it grown at all? Has it swelled to 7 and 8? Or
no, but it should, because we've pretty much talked about them all. And Leonard Floyd was number 2 on my list. Leonard Floyd is officially, ready for this, Sheppy, stacking good practices together.
Ooh, that's what you like to see, the stacking of good practices. When you're not stacking boxes in the garage, you want to be stacking good practices back to back to back.
Yeah, I'll tell you, the most impressive that I saw him was just in one-on-one drills in a random Bourbonnais practice a couple of weeks ago, where the defensive linemen line up against a lot of tight ends, offensive linemen, fullbacks, if there are still fullbacks in the NFL, and just kind of line up and go one-on-one, and sometimes it gets a little bit heated, and Leonard Floyd was simply beating his guy, dominating his guy on a regular basis, and doing it with some good moves, doing it with speed, doing it with being slippery, as his teammates were calling him. So Leonard Floyd is, like, really good. I really do think that this is usually a cop-out answer, but I do think in the case of Leonard Floyd, he's that guy that if he does stay healthy, this is going to be his breakout year. You know, he had 6 sacks or 4 sacks in 10 games last year and then missed 6 games because of the right knee. And obviously in football, staying healthy is a huge part of it. But just to answer your question, yeah, Floyd has looked great. And, you know, I mean, I talked about Prince Amukamara and Kyle Fuller's kind of being the MVP so far. Leonard Floyd, you know, when it's all said and done, when this preseason is over, Leonard Floyd is definitely making a strong statement for that as well. But he's got to stay healthy.
Yeah, and I thought on the play the other night that a lot of people were getting excited of Kyle Fuller. Oh, my God, he had a pick six. I thought that was more Floyd than anyone on it. Fuller happened to be standing there when the receiver, I forget who it was for Cincinnati, fell coming out of his break and the ball wound up there. But if anything, the pass was thrown a hair early because Leonard Floyd was bearing down on the quarterback and made Andy Dalton kind of get rid of that thing quicker than he wanted and forced the misplay from the receiver downfield that led to Kyle Fuller with the old pick six that we all got excited about on a Thursday night in August.
Well, that's the shiny object, too. You know, you get the pick six, and let's face it, the Bears had 8 interceptions last year. Not very good.
Kyle Fuller I think, has 8 interceptions an entire career, too.
Right. Well, Fuller did have 2 of the 8 last year. So, you know, to see not only an interception, but to see him taken to the end zone for 6 points. But you're right. You're right. Leonard Floyd caused that, and that's the way it's supposed to work in the NFL, that you're, especially in a 3-4 defense, your outside linebacker is supposed to put the pressure on, maybe even sack the quarterback, and if he doesn't, you make the quarterback release it before he wants to, and then the cornerbacks and the safeties go to work and make a play like Kyle Fuller did. So that was like you know, a perfect microcosm of how that defense is supposed to work, and hopefully for the Bears' sake, there's a whole lot more of it. So, yeah, 94 has been very good so far.
And the other night, I was struggling to fall asleep because oftentimes when you leave this shift and you go home, as you know, it's hard to just go home and fall right asleep. And so you lay in bed and you flip through the channels and you're looking for something to watch to fall asleep to. Well, long story short, that's going on with me. And I stumble into ESPNU was counting down the 25 best college football games of the 2017 season. And I forget if it was like number 6 or number 7, but it was the conference championship game between Central Florida and Memphis. And Anthony Miller, watch him, not just highlights of him, but you watch him on like a play-to-play basis. Absolutely screams being worthy of trading up and getting in the second round. Now, obviously, he's not going to be playing against the same talent at the NFL level that he was against UCF. And yeah, but he was juking the hell out of, I mean, not only the times that he was actually thrown to and making big plays, but I mean, the cornerbacks that were trying to cover this guy, I mean, those poor kids trying to like keep him in front of them and just looking foolish. I mean, I think he ended up, his stat line, I went and looked it up, was like 177 yards in that game. It could have been 277. Is he, Like, does that translate what you've seen so far in at least making defenses and his opponents and I guess his teammates that happen to be his opponents in practice just looking uncomfortable trying to defend against him? Does that translate so far at this level?
He's got one of those skills that is maybe even a little bit underrated for a wide receiver because we always like to talk about speed and your home run capability, but he is a terrific route runner. And it was the first thing that you heard, and you saw some of it, obviously, in watching him play against UCF. He is a legitimately, like, he's speedy, but he's not like he's burning like, you know, world class speed out there. But when he's making guys look silly with some of the cuts he can make, he is a big league route runner. And that's why I think the Bears think that it's going to translate to the NFL level. I got a feeling there will be some growing pains with him right off the bat, that it's not going to be perfect right away, but everything seems to exist for him to live up to the Bears, as you said, moving up to go up and get him. So it'll be interesting to see what Matt Nagy does in terms of how much he is going to use him, how much of the playbook Anthony Miller gets right away, because we keep hearing about Mitchell Trubisky and you know, Matt Nagy wanted to pare down the playbook to see what he does well and see what he does not so well. It's the same thing with some of these other players, too, especially the young players like Anthony Miller. He's not going to make them do things that he's uncomfortable with. But yeah, I mean, just to watch him run routes. I mean, I read about it on draft night. I heard about it from all the various scouting reports. Then to get to see it in Bourbon A, it's legit.
That's Mark Grody. I'm Nick Szepkowski. 312-644-6767 is the telephone number to call. He's out in Denver covering the Bears. They practice this week with the Broncos before playing them on Saturday in preseason action. I'm back here in Chicago just doing the Chicago thing and holding down the fort until Grody gets back, because really that's all we are doing, all of us that are in Chicagoland right now, waiting for Mark Grody to come back home. Our beloved,
hang in there.
Our beloved
hang
guy.
Hang in there, Chicago.
Saturday night, late, or I guess Sunday morning is when it will finally happen. We'll get our guy Grody back.
Oh. And Shep, if I can just give you a little bit of advice, like when you go home and you can't sleep and it's late at night, one of the best things to do late at night is to just eat a lot of food. It's really good to do that right before you go to bed.
It's so bad, man. Like, it always,
that's why,
like,
I've gained 25 pounds.
Right. My go-to is always immediate. It's like, okay, what can I fall asleep to? What's something that'll be good background noise to fall asleep to? And I'll flip through and I'll find either some documentary that's on the Discovery Channel or History Channel. I'm like, well, this isn't working. Then I'll find, like, ESPN Classic. They'll be playing the Final Four from 2001 or something. And I'm like, this isn't working. And I'll inevitably stumble into God knows what. It happens way too often, though. And I end up going downstairs and making a bowl of popcorn. I'm like, oh, I'm still hungry. What else can I find here? Oh, hey, look, there's a Snickers bar. Oh, here's this. And next thing you know, it's like, oh, God, why didn't I just get on with my night? We have to pause for a timeout. Yes.
Okay, yeah, go ahead. Do your thing.
Okay. We will. You have your 6 points that you still have to get to. I think we've covered like five of them, but one of those. When we come back, Ben Heisler from Fantasy Sports Markets will help you get ready for your fantasy football draft. Do you have any questions about that? Text them in 67011. Who do you take with the first pick? What should I be looking back for in later rounds? What's some strategy? We'll talk with that with him coming up next on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.